Hi, it's Phil Hendry, and all of the voices and characters, all of the personalities that you hear on the show today, all of the people being interviewed, all of the interviewers, all of them, me. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
From the El Pacifico in Southern California.
I'm Bud Dickman.
I'm Robert Shaw.
I'm Margaret Gray.
And I'm Bud Dickman, goddamn. I'm General Shaw.
And I'm General, See, I didn't think that would work.
No, it's going good, do it.
Yeah, do it.
All right, I'm Margaret Gray. You're not Bud Dickman.
I'm General Shaw.
I'm Bud Dickman.
I'm
Robert Winters. God damn, man.
You're Phil Hendry.
Well, that was great. Now, who's,
It was my idea to try to clean this thing up once and for all, because the whole ego trip behind you and the, you know, the fact that I admittedly, I'm on an ego trip, but I don't like the idea of you saying, I do all the voices, here's Margaret Gray. In other words, I do all the voices, and here's an example of my handiwork. She, in and of herself, is something that we can...
Well, you said it before the show.
Well, I'm not saying it here.
Come on. What did you say?
I'm not saying it here.
She said, lift her skirt, squat over it.
God damn you.
Hey, come on now. You come at me, boy. You come at me. Say your prayers and say your goodbyes.
Why, you dirty...
Hey, come on.
Break it up.
Come on. You're not going to fight a woman, are you, General?
Hey, let me tell you what, my friend. I'm open for business 24/7.
Hey, General, you went, I'm open for business.
Yeah, you did.
Who gives a hot egg? Watch it, man.
We're trying to get the intro to this program right. That's what we're doing before he started giving me a hard time and waving his...
Waving my what?
Figuratively, I was saying. Waving your thing.
Yeah, waving your penis.
What the fuck is she... Hey, now, what are you talking about?
He's figuratively showing dominance. And in the animal kingdom, among apes, that's to swing from one vine to the... So you think it's funny?
Well, of course he thinks it's funny. It is funny.
That is a sign of dominance.
Miss Gray.
Now, wait a minute. A sign of dominance in the ape kingdom is to wave your penis in front of...
No, Phil, it's not to wave your penis in front. It's to wave the dick.
Wave the what?
It's to wave the dick. Move on before I get up and walk out of here, Phil. So help me God, I'll call Frank.
All right, anyway, welcome to the program, folks. I had no idea, Margaret.
I have to get the literature, but I'm pretty sure I saw that.
No, I believe you, Miss Gray. I don't think you're...
Thank you very much, Bud.
So the ape swings the penis in front of someone.
You can stop now, all right?
Yeah, okay. So I'm really glad you brought that up. That's a piece of information I hope I never, ever hear again. Anyway, welcome to the show, folks. Phil Hendry Show. And here we are on a Tuesday, and we've had a very, very challenging couple of days. As we mentioned throughout the weekend, as we mentioned throughout yesterday, as we mentioned today, and we've been mentioning it on Twitter. We had a post over at Facebook. And we're doing it here. In fact, I was on chat this afternoon, General.
Well, I went over to chat to see how it was going, because I heard you say I'll be on chat around 1 o'clock Pacific, and I saw you sitting there with nothing to do, and then you went, well, screw, F this.
No, I didn't. I talked to a couple of people, and they were there. It was very, very quick.
Yeah, sure, Phil.
Okay, that's right. There's nobody listening, and nobody gives a shit. But the fact of the matter remains...
What about the language when I say waving the dick in the face?
Hey, Margaret... When I was on the chat, when I was on chat today, I did it pretty fast. I said, hey, let me just explain what's going on. I was talking to the BSPs, our backstage pass people. I said, if you want to come over and talk, I'm here. I talked to one guy, Pete, and I said, I'm here, man. And we talked, I think we said something to each other. And then,
that's not much of a chat.
Yeah, I should say that isn't much of a chat.
No, it's not much of a chat, but that's what happened. But I think for the most part, our subscribers are... Our patient people, they're hanging with us. The good news is we have a team in place now that's going to start posting the shows. The second thing we have to do is get to our customer service. I'm very grateful for all of our subscribers, and customer service has always been number one in our book. I don't want that to suffer. So what we're doing is sort of taking a break from that, and I'm sorry if the emails pile up, you guys, but we've got to get first things first. The other thing... let's see, customer service, and what else was I...
Well, you're talking about the technical matters and everything.
Oh, and then the online store. We have to make sure that we have, people in place to take orders for merchandise. So, we had, as I said, we had a major operational change.
Yeah, you don't want to go on a record yet, or what?
Now, what are you sitting with a notepad for?
Because I'm going to be a reporter.
What the hell you mean you're a reporter? You're going to write that down and publish it in a broadside.
A what?
A broadside. You never heard of one?
Well, is it something? What is it? Something you published?
Yeah, broadside. You go down the street, and you go, you know, when the kid was, you're too young for this, bud, and filmed. But you remember the kid? Hey, X-ray. Read all about it. Phil Henry's, you know, or if it was more, an ape has got his penis hanging out. You know.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about the broadside.
You mean an extra, an extra edition?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
A broadside, and I don't want to tell you, General. I thought a broadside was something they used to publish back in the day, like way back in the 18th century. It'd be a sheet, and it would have the news, like one story on it. Say, here's a broadside that was published by one guy, and then another guy would come out with one.
What?
You know, what I'm saying is...
Yeah, you're talking about Thomas Jefferson, William Hamilton, too.
What do you mean, William Hamilton?
Who's William Hamilton?
The guy that they made the play about.
That's Alexander Hamilton, you clawed on a wheel.
Hey, come on.
Just one day.
I didn't mean to say it on purpose.
You just said it. Alexander Hamilton. What about him?
Well, he had a broadside, didn't he? About the broad... Well, literally about the broad...
Alexander Hamilton, if you want to know the story, because I know the story... You know, Alexander Hamilton...
All right, Phil, don't lord history over us like it's a big deal.
It's not a big deal? What did I tell you today when I was watching that thing? There was a debate that I saw. Ali Velshi, who's the bald-headed guy...
Oh, yeah, he's that bald-headed Arab, ain't he?
Bald-headed Arab?
Well, what do you mean with the name Velshi?
He's an American. I don't know, maybe he's Muslim. But anyway, he was debating a woman, and he had a lot of historical context, and he was talking about how America's economy... has not been as brisk or as, what's the word that they use? It hasn't been as, brisk and healthy as it's been in the past over these last 8 years. And this person was a pro-Trump person. She was saying, well, you know, that's proof that Obama's run the economy poorly. And he said, yeah, but you got to put that in context with all of the other countries, what he called the BRIC.
Now, the BRIC is what?
Well, that's Brazil.
Yeah, it's Brazil, Russia, India... And China, Brazil, Russia, India, and China. That's BRIC. And those are the four countries that were supposed to be the big economic powers as the 21st century progressed. And it didn't happen. They were nailed by this worldwide recession to the point where the United States has emerged the stronger of all of these economies. So the whole world economy went into the tank. And, you know...
But I'm trying to make a point about... Mr. Trump, though.
Yeah, he's gonna vote for Mr. Trump, Miss Henry.
You're gonna vote for Trump?
Well, I mean, I'm thinking about it.
Oh my God! Oh God!
Oh, are you kidding me? There's.
You know, bud, do what you want. Do what your heart says is best, and just go on and be Claude-like.
Well, you know. So, what do you want to vote for Trump for?
On account of he's, you know, talking about how America's economy needs to get better.
Well, America's economy does need to get better. Everybody's economy needs to get better, though, bud. The point is that everyone's economy blows a hyena, you know? It's just a...
What does blow a hyena mean?
Three guesses.
You know what it means, Margaret. It stinks. Okay?
All right, Phil. It is. I understand.
All right. So America's economy, it stinks. And everybody's economy, Canada's economy stinks. Great Britain's economy stanked.
France's economy stunk.
Yeah, now Germany's economy stunked.
What do you mean, stunk?
All right, so in total, all of the economies were no good, and as a result of that, we had ourselves, quite an unhappy 8 years. All right, coming up here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show today, we got Art Griego, who's going to talk with us about Delta. They went black or something.
Me, they went black.
No, they didn't go black the way you're thinking. They
went dark.
Oh, okay, dark. When you say black, naturally, I'm going to make an assumption about it. And I don't think
Phil Henry Show traffic.
Be quiet for a minute. Here is Bob Bakian. Bob?
I'm told about the freeway right now with Gibson Bubs. You've got a Berlin. And everybody's out of Guadalajara in downtown until 5 o'clock this afternoon. Also have their relays. Everybody has gone home. The guy and everybody's gone to the moon. Let's go to Skyboy because he's boom, bound, and fun.
Hey, Bob, this guy. We're just looking over here at the 5 mile freeway. I'm strong. Looks to me like there's going to be a shaman, and the shaman will be around. He's going to cast down voodoo spells and let the evil spirits until 5 o'clock tonight. Then around the 9 o'clock hour, you're going to see the king, and the kingpin will be there with my mom, and Mary Elizabeth Rowan, Myra, and Martha Randella's coming up. We're going to school, boy, Sky Baby, Sweet Pan here.
Hello, Papa, Sweet Pan. I don't know, Goo 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 Goo
How much for a dime?
cousin.
At Mervyn Curtains, you're the best. Mervyn Curtain, it's the test. Mervyn Curtains, 5th and Main, downtown Wound. Mervyn Curtains, buy all the curtains you want. Put them around your head. We don't care. Put them in the shower stall. Wear them. Put them in the house. Put them outside. Mervyn Curtains, the best since 1956. Throughout the Southland and Northern California. Mervyn Curtains, it's the test. Mervyn's Curtains, it's the best. Mervyn's Curtains, it's a mess. Mervyn, better start rhyming it right.
Sorry.
Mervyn's Curtains, it's... Mervyn's Curtains, 5th and Main, downtown. You need a curtain? We've got it. If you don't want a curtain, it could be curtains for you. I've got a rod in my pocket. It's a curtain rod. Get it? Mervyn's Curtain. Bah! Mervyn's Curtain. Mervyn's Curtain. Mervyn's Curtains.
Hey, what are you trying to do?
Let me tell you something, Lefty. We got to get out of here.
Why is that?
Because Porter's Hobby Shop is having a sale.
On what?
They got all kinds of glue and all kinds of wood and all kinds of balsa to make them really nice model airplanes.
You kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. Porter's Hobby Shop in 15th Street.
In 15th Street?
That's right. They buried it underground. Porter's Hobby Shop.
What about the bank?
We're not robbing no bank today. We're going to Porter's Hobby Shop. And we're going to buy ourselves a balsa wood airplane and go outside and play with it.
Well, then you playing with something, you know what it was.
Don't you dare talk about that time I got arrested with the zipper down.
Porter's Hobby Shops in 15th Street. Not on it, not near it, in it.
All right, well, that is an interesting piece of... Is that the group of Volume?
No, that's their Volumes.
Oh, that's Volume. I thought it was Volbeat.
Oh, the Volbeat, you know, I got a look at that group the other day. You talk about some weird asses. They got the weird heads.
Yeah, they've got it from Denmark, right, Mr. Henry?
Volbeat is from Denmark, I believe.
Yeah, they're from Denmark. Only reason why they have the weird heads is on account of from the part of the world they're from. They're Nordic and everything like that.
What has Nordic got to do with it? They've got heads that are shaped. They almost come to a point at the top.
But a lot of the Nordic people are like that.
What are you guys talking about? They've got heads that come to a point at the top.
That's the whole thing about Volbeat.
So you're saying that this group Volbeat, because what country are they from?
I believe they're from Denmark, or Danemark, whatever you call it.
It's Denmark. Why do you guys get stupid all of a sudden for?
I'm trying to be precise.
And what are you saying?
These guys, have you seen a picture of Volbeat, or am I just sitting here beating my sitting here beating my...
Your meat?
All right, so have you seen... No, yes, I have, as a matter of fact.
Well, what do you think?
I think they're perfectly normal-looking guys. I mean, they're the best-looking. Is that what you're saying? They're not good-looking?
No, Phil, this is nothing... It's nothing to do with them being good-looking. We're talking about a group of guys whose heads have gotten jacked. Their heads got jacked by Mother Nature. And I'll tell you what, when she jacked their heads, she didn't call for a tow truck. Oh!
No doubt about that, General.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. In any event...
All right, we'll have to look at that one. All right, Margaret.
Yes, in any event, what I was going to say is we do have on the line with us here someone that we haven't heard from in a long time, and that is Art Griego. Art is in Santa Monica, and he is at Del Reno's lunch there on 10th. Oh, excuse me, on Ocean. Is that where you are, Art?
Yeah, I'm on 10th right now, and as usual, they're packed in, but they're delicious. I love the French dip and the beef dip sandwich.
And you're having lunch in Santa Monica. You work at the Santa Monica Airport.
I do work at Santa Monica Airport, yes.
What do you do out there, by the way, Art, so everyone who hasn't heard you in a while knows?
Well, I own my own, a couple of aircraft, both of which I use for charter service, one for freight and one for passenger. Both of them Cessnas and prop jobs. One actually a Cessna prop, but occasionally I have the use of a jet. And, you know, it's been a very comfortable living.
Art, you retired as a commercial pilot, didn't you?
Excuse me, I'm asking the questions.
Oh, sorry.
This is Margaret's segment.
It's my segment. Go ahead.
Am I allowed?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. Did you used to be a commercial pilot?
Did I used to be a commercial? Yeah, I used to be a commercial pilot, and then I retired from that, and I went into the business of transporting freight and so on and so forth.
And when about was this?
Hey, how many people are asking questions here?
I don't know that I feel like being handed around the campfire. You know,
nobody's handing you around a campfire.
No, we wouldn't do that to you, Art.
Well, that's what it feels like. I go from Margaret to...
What does it mean, handed around the campfire?
Yeah, I'm trying to ask a question.
Go ahead.
No, I know what he's talking about, though. It feels very rough, and it's not very respectful.
I feel like I'm being passed from hand to hand around a campfire, and, you know, I've got to run behind a barman and put my skirt on.
Like, anything you're saying is making sense. Are you drinking again?
Of course.
All right, it's Art Griego.
Stop asking the question.
All right, Art Griego here on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, bud.
God, I forgot.
Sorry about that.
I've got a question.
No, wait. Are you still, I know. Are you, when did you stop flying commercially? That's it.
All right, that's a good question. I stopped flying commercially in 2001. And at that time, I decided I'd go into the freight business and go into the private charter business. It's been quite wonderful for me.
Well, we have you on today
Excuse me, for Christ's sake.
Well, Margaret, what are you...
I'm sorry, Margaret. I'm just automatically...
We've got you on the air. Do you mind?
Go ahead.
We have you on the... You know what? I don't care. You take...
Margaret.
No, I don't really care. I don't have a question.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
When I think of one.
All right, Art, it's Phil Hendry.
Yeah, Phil.
When did you... So you retired in 2001.
Yes, that is correct.
Now, the reason why we have you on the air today is Delta Airlines worldwide today, Art. Worldwide, man. They didn't get a flight off the ground.
That is right. That is, in my point of view, in my memory, that has got to be unprecedented in the history of commercial flight.
Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah, well, what happened was there was a computer glitch. They call it a computer glitch that was caused by a power outage. And hundreds of flights were delayed. A lot of others on Monday were canceled. This outage hit its computer systems, grounding all the planes and stranding all the passengers. Delta is in Atlanta. It is the second largest airline in the world. These disruptions dealt a blow to Delta's efforts to use its recent success in avoiding flight cancellations to win over corporate and leisure customers. With Monday's outage, Delta joins rival Southwest and American Airlines among airlines that have suffered flight disruptions during the past year due to data system malfunction.
All right, where did this data system malfunction take place? Do we know?
Well, I don't know. It's probably somewhere in Atlanta, or perhaps in several places along the line. But I think the more significant statistic here is they were celebrating avoiding flight cancellations. And this is very, very key. You know, the FAA tracks all the flights that are canceled. They track all flights that are behind schedule. And what they're trying to do is keep everything on schedule.
You're going too fast, Art. Take it easy.
All right, well, I'm having coffee for breakfast here, and I've also realized that with you people, I got to...
What do you mean, you people? No, I'm talking about you people.
I don't mean racially. I'm talking about...
Well, you're talking about me as if I'm an object.
As if you're a dobject?
An object. Never mind. Nobody's talking about you as an object. Go ahead, Art.
Well, I was going to say, I respect all of you, but I got to get moving because... You tend to break into the jokes and the giggles here, you know. So
yeah, and you're just about coming up on the time.
All right, well, so I was saying, Jim Corridor, who I know, he's at S&P Global Market Intelligence. He downplayed the impact, saying it was not as severe as a mild snowstorm. However, this was a worldwide. And I don't know if you remember, Phil, the old days of radio when we used to have an exclusive. I wasn't in radio myself, but I used to hear about it when you say a worldwide exclusive. Remember that? When you'd...
No, I don't remember that. No, I don't.
You never remembered?
You don't remember saying worldwide exclusive?
No, I never said worldwide exclusive.
Well, who said that?
Yeah, who said that, Mr. Ian?
Nobody that I know said worldwide exclusive.
Well, they would say this. Here's a worldwide exclusive. Maybe it was after you came on board or something.
Maybe. We used to say, here's an exclusive. We didn't say worldwide. All right, so we're talking here with Art Griego, and we're discussing today's flight cancellations at Delta Airlines. All over the world, these cancellations took place.
Hold on for a minute. Phil, you've got a Band-Aid flapping around.
Yeah, it looks disgusting, Phil.
I've got to get an infection on it.
Hold on for a minute. Let me take... I cut my finger the other day. Art Griego on the line with us here on the Phil Hendry Show. So tell me, Art, with the cancellation of these Delta flights and them not being able to celebrate their on time, and now they're back down there with Southwest and American Airlines?
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. When you're Delta Airlines and you've had this excellent record of on-time service, and now you've been shoved back down the ladder. In the airline business, we call it being kicked down the stairs. And that's when your one bad piece of luck can blow the whole thing to hell and back for you. And that's what happened to Delta Airlines.
So when they had this computer, they went dark, and now they're ranked below Southwest and American. What does it mean?
Well, you're now ranked below two of the worst airlines in the history of flight. American Airlines and Southwest are known as just two you know, they're like bus carriers. They're like garbage cargo ships. It's like getting on board a freighter and sleeping in the bilge when you get on board American Airlines.
Well, I've flown American recently. It's not that bad.
Oh, this is all they're giving them a plug and everything.
Yeah, Jerry, why don't you be honest about it?
I'm being honest about it.
Well, Phil, I don't know who you know at American where you got your first-class seats. I'm talking about the...
I don't know anybody at American, okay? I pay full price for every ticket.
Well, fact of the matter is, American Airlines and you've flown Southwest?
Not recently.
Oh, okay. Lucky.
Yeah, lucky you. I do not recommend that. Southwest Airlines is a cattle call. Southwest Airlines is a boxcar. God almighty, Southwest Airlines is like being piled into a stinking boxcar with a bunch of Cossacks and other enlisted Russian soldiers, draftees all, some enlisted, some draftees. They stink of borscht, they stink of cheese, they stink of vodka, and they stink eventually, they'll stink of you, because you'll...
What does that mean?
I don't want to go into it.
Oh my God, don't... Are you trying to tell me you spent the night with some Russians?
Oh, you dirty...
Hey, now, come on, Margaret.
I gotta get into the phone.
Margaret, come on.
I'm getting into the phone.
How are you doing?
What are you doing here?
What am I doing here is none of your...
Oh, man. See what happens? Hey, don't blame me for this stuff. All right, Art Griego, thank you very much. What a fantastic and wonderfully pleasant... There she is right there. What the hell are you doing, Margaret?
I told you I'd go into the phone on him. You know, no one, and I mean no one, comments that way about me.
God, you went down the phone, everything on it. Let me see if he's here.
No, we're going to take a break.
Wait, yeah, hey, Art, you okay? Hey, the world-famous Phil Henry Show from El Pacific on Southern California.
Hey, guys, it's Phil Henry here for our backstage pass and basically for our website and all that's been going on here over the last few days. You know, we had a major, as I say, major operational change take place over the weekend. And as a result, we have had to deal with things a bit more methodically, and that causes a slowdown in service. We're going to be back up to speed. We're getting people in place, but it has been a little bit of a surprise. And all I'm saying to you is this. Your backstage pass now more than ever before is going to be of great value because once, and this is only going to be for a few days, once we get through this period where we are not delivering as quickly as we usually do, we've got a few surprises in store for you, a few really sweet, tight things that I think you're going to enjoy.
That's right. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will not be denied, just like Pete Bone himself, moving forward inexorably into the American dream. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Get a backstage pass now at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com.
Well, maybe not right now, because we're working on our merchandise, but soon. Get a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And for each and every one of you BSPs that we have, we got nothing but great love, great appreciation. Like I said, stay tuned, because we've got good things coming your way following the restoration of
the Capitol building.
The Capitol, but the restoration of full and complete service at philhenryshow.com. Thank you.
Wow! Yeah!
Turn it down, will you? Turn it down!
Ah! My ears!
Take it easy. Yeah.
What is the purpose of that?
Well, that's what they call feedback.
Yeah, that's some feeding back, all right, man. So, did anybody see the... What was the news today?
Just a bunch of stuff about Donald Trump and everything.
Well, we don't know. No, that's not what I... The stuff about Donald Trump... Every day is a stuff about Donald Trump.
Yeah, every day is stuff about Donald Trump. They were talking today about how they're getting pissed off that all they ever do is talk about Donald Trump.
Well, they liked talking about Donald Trump. They liked it when it was all good news. Now, all of a sudden, they're complaining.
Now, Margaret...
No, that's exactly what happens. That is exactly what happens. They like it until suddenly it's not helping them. And this is the Donald Trump campaign. Now, the word that I got today is that Mr. Trump is particularly upset because he does not like wearing that red baseball cap in public.
Well, then why does he do that?
Because it holds his hair in place. If a wind kicks up, if a breeze kicks up, you've got one strand that will go directly straight up in the air, because there are three basic strands to the Trump hair. One,
Wait, is this...
This is information that I've gotten.
What? This is don't say what, bud. Oh, man.
All right, so what is it?
There are three basic strands of Trump hair. One goes straight up, the other goes out and to the side, and the other goes down and wraps around. These three strands, and only these three strands, are what keeps the look, if you will, of the Trump hair looking, in a manner of speaking, looking sharp, looking right, Saturday night.
All right, well, to talk a little bit about the Trump hair, we do have Robert Greene on the line. We also have, standing by, Vernon Dozier from the Olympics, right?
Well, Vernon, yes. We had Vernon standing by yesterday.
Well, Vernon has been in Rio. And we want to get him reporting on a few things. Robert Greene from Fraser Foods is joining us right now from Buena Park, California, to talk about Donald Trump's hair. And, Bob, the reason why we have you on is obviously because you are a man of great experience when it comes to this.
Well, yeah, I would say that I am. I don't certainly come on your program, Phil, to be made fun of or to look like an ass. I'm on your program to comment on a man's right, and I believe it is his... You want to get right down to it, I think it's a constitutional right to wear his hair in a manner that can make him look like he's got it going on.
And what do you mean, got it going on?
What I mean by that, General, is that if a man has hair, let's take a look at Phil Hendry. With all due respect, Phil, you're bald.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's beyond me. I think it's beyond all men to understand why you would choose to be bald when you can get the hair system. And
all right, I've told you a million times.
No, Mr. Henry's not going to get a hair system.
Why don't you let Mr. Hendry answer that for himself?
Bob, you're a grocer, okay?
I happen to be the CEO. You're a grocer. I like the way you say that with such disdain.
No, I'm not saying that, sir. I'm saying it. I would say it with pride if it was me. You're a grocer, but you're not. One thing I know you're not is a hair salesman.
I'm not being a hair salesman, but what I am is a commentator on the cultural norm and the looks of men, because I've been there, done that. All right? Hold on for a minute, Karen. I got a date tonight with one of the young checkers I was telling you about, Phil. And the reason why I bring that up, ladies and gentlemen, is that her name is Karen. She's 21. The limousine's outside. See, I've got a lot of money, and Phil used to laugh at me for not being able to, you know, none of the checkers at my Buena Park store would go out with me. And now...
All right, Bob, do we have to hear about this?
Yes, you do. Because...
No, Green, don't talk to her like that.
Well, I'm sick of people intimating that even though I've got all kinds of money and I have a limousine that...
Bob, we don't doubt for a minute that you've got a lot of money and that you have access to a lot of things. But women don't always just go for that, you know?
Well, get a load of this. I'm talking to a guy over here. He doesn't think...
All right, Bob, we're talking to you right here.
Sorry. I don't understand that.
All right, Green, so what's the point you're making about Phil's hair?
You mean Phil's lack of hair.
All right, Phil's lack of hair.
When Henry goes out into the world every day, he's got the bald head. I don't know how he does it. A lot of men don't know how he does it, but he does it. I'm saying to Phil Hendry, why are you insisting on going out with the bald head when you can get the hair system?
Are you pitching a hair system?
Am I what?
Are you pitching? Are you selling a hair system?
Yeah, you're fixated on a hair system.
I'm not fixated on a hair system, Dick, but I'm asking Mr. Hendry why he doesn't get one.
First of all, I don't know what a hair system is. I've heard of hair plugs. I've heard of hair weaves. I've heard of...
No, wait, you're way off base here. Hair plugs, hair weaves. I'm talking about a system of hair. Because this is my hair. I was bald like you, and I wasn't going to stand for it. I wasn't going to let Mother Nature stick it in with up the giggy with a wah-wah brush and then twist it and break it off. I was not...
Yeah, okay.
I was not going to let that happen.
Yes, up the giggy with the wah-wah brush.
What is this all of a sudden?
I don't know, Bob, but when you come on the program...
No, Mr. Gray, it's tough to make you serious.
Yeah, you talk about stuff, you sound like an idiot.
What the fuck is this kid...
Hey, watch the language, man.
Well, nobody says that to Bob Greene. Hey, you sound like an idiot.
Well, Greene, every time you come on, unlike other guests, you're weird. You're way out there, man.
And what makes me weird?
You got a hair system. You got a 21-year-old checker you've been chasing around. You got a limousine.
Yeah? Have you? Do you have a hair system? No.
I don't need a hair system.
All right, what about Phil?
I don't want a hair system.
I got news for you, though. You need one. Oh. Huh? You need one. Oh. You need one. Oh.
Bob, give it up.
He needs one. Oh. He needs one.
Hang up on him.
He needs one, though.
He was, but that was almost like Chinese.
Yeah, the other one's loud. No, no, no.
You have to play that part.
All right. Re-racking.
Let's hear what that said. He,
No.
Oh, yeah, I sounded like... All right,
What? Mr. Green, no. No, sir. Mr. Henry said no. He said no. Okay.
Hey, one more thing, Phil.
Just hang up on that guy when I tell you to hang up. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Have you been to our YouTube channel, Bud Dickman? That is the real Bud Dickman. Our YouTube channel, youtube.com/realbuddickman. On that channel, on that page, on that place, in that place, in that time, you can see clips, you can see examples of our show, you can watch me perform all of the different acrobatics that it takes to produce the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Yes, and along with the production on this, why, it's got slides and artwork and all that. Looks pretty good, doesn't it, Margaret?
Yes, it looks very good. Of course, we're here in our studios at the El Pacifico, and I think these are very lovely studios. But I will say that our production on those YouTube clips are second to none.
And you know, if you share our YouTube clips, if you go over and you check out a clip of the Phil Henry Show and you share it, you make yourself eligible for some prizes that we have in the offing that we have put away for you. So, by all means, visit our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/TheRealBudDickman. Now, to the point of what we were saying in the last break, in the month of June, we gave away voice messages to people who were purchasing 1-year subscriptions to the Phil Henry Show website. Those voice messages are getting produced this week, and then they're going to go out to you sometime at the end of this week. For those of you who have them, you know, coming, and these are various messages by various characters and various people and various guests and people like that from our show. So we just wanted you to know that you've, you know, it's going to be all right. It's going to be out of sight.
Yeah, that's part of the Phil Henry Show guarantee from me to you. The voice message, if the get the 1 year, well, I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but well, that was a promotion.
That's right. That's what it was, a promotion.
All right, from...
Yeah, PhilHenryShow.com.
I'm Margaret Gray.
You're out.
Jesus.
Wow.
Oh, this is Volby. See, these guys have got heads that are misshapen.
All right. World famous Phil Henry Show, PhilHenryShow.com. Mark Hinshaw with some commentary on what happened today. I know we wanted to get into the Donald Trump stuff. I don't know how much of it we were going to get into. But that's where we are right now, and some of this stuff has to do with the news today.
Well, Mark Hinshaw is a good friend of mine, and Mark is from Jackson, Mississippi, and was up at the Republican convention in Cleveland, and now is back home in Jackson. Mark, how you been?
I've been really good, General. How are you?
I'm great. And you were looking at this. What is the story here with this Emperor Hirohito? You're a Trump guy. You follow Trump. What's with Emperor Akihito or something?
This is a very important story. This is the Emperor of Japan. His name is Emperor Akihito. He wants to retire, but will the Japanese people allow him? It is freighted. The Emperor represents a post-war Japan. That is committed to pacifism. The current government wants to loosen the reins on the military, and the Prime Minister, Shinzo Abe, is politically powerful. If Emperor Akihito steps down, will Japan lose a check on the government's drive to rewrite the past and to discard its lessons and taboos? What that means is that with the Emperor in place, and he was the son of Emperor Hirohito. His father... I'm looking at the...
All right, so who are we talking about here?
You're talking about Emperor Akihito.
Yeah, Emperor Akihito, who has a son, Prince Naruhito. But the father was the very famous Emperor Hirohito, who was the man who was the emperor of the Japan at the time of when the bomb with the atomic energy blew up Tokyo, and they signed the surrender after they blew it up.
What do you mean they signed the surrender after they blew it? You mean they signed the surrender at Tokyo Bay? That was weeks after the atomic bombs.
That's what I'm trying to say. So
with the abdication of Emperor, not abdication, but his retirement, You're saying that the military and the government will not be checked?
That's true, because the Japanese people traditionally have always followed the will. They don't, they're constitutionally not bound to, but it's always been in the, if you want, the DNA of the Japanese to follow the will of the you know, the people of the emperor, is what I'm trying to say. The people follow the will of the people. Is that what I was?
That was what I was saying.
What I meant to say is the emperor follows his own will. So when the emperor makes a decision, he follows the will of himself.
What does that mean?
I'm sorry. I'm very confused because of what's been going on your website, Phil.
The Emperor Akihito is following his own, you know, good sense, and the people follow him.
That is correct, sir. Now, you have a constitution in Japan that was written by the Americans. It was written in 1947, written primarily by Douglas MacArthur with others. And this constitution...
Bud, what are you talking about, man?
That's true, Bud.
That is absolutely true.
The constitution of the Japan...
Bud, it's not the Japan. Don't sound like you belong in a home for kids that sniff their fingers. All right, you understand?
Jesus.
It's not... Wait a minute, I just went... It's not...
Yeah, you almost were Bud there for a minute.
Yes, that's it.
All right, so what is the story?
The... Is it me?
No, I'll say it.
Here, let me say it. The Japanese...
No, I'll say it. The Japanese wrote the Constitution.
No, the Americans wrote the Japanese Constitution after World War II.
Yeah, and so I'm saying why.
Because we beat their ass in a war. Is that good enough for you?
Yes, sir.
God damn.
All right, so enough of that nonsense. And it's a pacifist constitution. The Crown Prince Naruhito commends the pacifist constitution, as does the Emperor. So this is very difficult. With his resignation, he is going to allow, you know, with his resignation, you might say the war council and the war drums are beating again.
Well, let me tell you something, my fine feathered friend. Speaking as a member of the military, we've got plenty of experience with the Japanese. They try to pull some stunt like that. Let me tell you what, I'm sure there's another fat boy in the pantry somewhere.
Now, wait just a second.
What are we talking about? This isn't the same America used to be.
Now, that is true, General. We are not the same country we were. I understand that if President Trump, and God willing, and the creek don't rise, and all that other cornball hillbilly stuff that Mr. Henry makes fun of, but that's what I believe in, Mr. Henry. I hope Donald Trump becomes our next president, because let me tell you what, there's not a man anywhere in the world that's going to be able to deal with these Japans.
The Japanese. Would you guys get it right? The Japanese.
That's right. The Japanese. Ain't a man in the world who can deal with them like him.
Oh, horse dung. We got a country. It's not... Our country is not contingent on one guy. What? Especially not some jackass like Trump. Our country is contingent on the will of the people to make sure that freedom and justice reigns.
Boy, man, that sounds like the biggest load.
General, this isn't 1947. Everybody knows what America represents now is spend as much money as you can to see as much as you can, buy as much as you can. Go ahead and...
Yeah.
Slip between the legs. Well,
oh, my God.
You know what I'm talking about.
All right, let's get off of what we can buy. This is a fascinating discussion for me. So the discussion is, with the emperor gone, Japan may become a warmonger?
Not a warmonger. But,
well, they might start casting their eyes around the Pacific like they did before. And the next thing you know, they may be looking at, well, look at there. There's Taiwan. Oh, that's right. We almost had that once.
Well, that sounds insane. That sounds suicidal.
Well, don't worry about it. I mean, what do you mean suicidal?
That sounds suicidal because now they've got a very powerful China. There's obviously the United States is not going to allow that.
How do you mean the United States won't allow it?
Well, that's why I say there's only one man that won't. And that's Donald Trump.
You believe that? You think that American presidents are just going to let that stuff happen?
I think Donald Trump is the one. He, you know, people make fun of him for this, but Donald Trump has seen a lot of the different movies. He watches the different shows. He sees all of the commentary shows. He's watched the Back from Bataan, the Sands of Iwo Jima. What was the Iwo Jima?
Iwo Jima, man. What is that?
God damn, you are embarrassing.
All right, wait a minute. The sands of
Iwo Jima.
Iwo Jima. Beachhead. Battleground.
All right.
No, whoa, hold on. Beachhead, Battleground, 30 seconds over Tokyo. Baton with Robert Taylor at the very end when he's firing that machine gun and saying, come on, you monkeys, come and get it.
Oh, my God, are you kidding me?
Well, that was that movie. Those are the times.
That's right. And
you want to see that again, huh?
No, I'm not saying I want to see that again, but I want to see an America that's ready to just go ahead and, give it to them. And right now, with this, all the stuff's going on with us, and the Japanese, they want to start to flex their muscles. Man, I don't think so.
All right, well, I don't think it's going to happen, and I don't think it's going to take Donald Trump to get rid of it.
I think Mr. Trump is the only one, the only man capable of doing these things. And I believe that unless we turn it all over to him...
You know something? You sound like every little silly bastard I hear that votes for Trump. You think that guy's the answer to everything. That nothing's going to get done without him. He's got you talked into that. I'll bet you he doesn't even know how to wash, dry, and fold properly his own underwear. I'm General Galen Shaw.
Yay! So what, man? Whether he knows how to wash, dry, and fold the underwear...
Well, you know something that's important in the Army...
Yeah, okay, maybe that's why our army ain't all that it used to be.
You know what, this... Come on, General, let me get in the phone.
He ain't coming through the phone, is he?
General, come on, man!
Isn't what it used to be, huh? I didn't mean to say nothing, I'm just...
God almighty.
You know something, your program gets weirder and weirder and weirder. I What is this? I just believe it. Well, would you turn it off, please?
All right.
Your program gets weirder and weirder and weirder as the sun goes down and the things...
I think we're just going to say goodbye.
Yeah, why don't you say goodbye?
Where are you going?
I'm going to say goodbye, too.
There he is. What happened?
What do you think happened? I shut that Hinshaw off, I'll tell you that right now, with the big fat bazoo on him. Have you ever seen that guy, Mark Hinshaw?
No, I haven't. What's he look like?
He's a big fat asshole in a baseball cap.
You look like you're out of breath, man.
I am. God damn, I had to lift that guy up and then pile drive him.
Yeah, Gerald, have a Coke. Have a Coca-Cola.
Have a Coca-Cola. World famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved. On Podcast One, see you tomorrow. Thanks again for all of your love and your kisses and your kindness and your patience, folks.
Yeah. Oh. So you're still sitting upright, huh?